Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to episode number 447. And today we are going to talk about one of the things that my esteemed colleague, who will be introducing himself.
Esteemed, I'm getting worried there. when he calls me esteemed, that's when you got to get worried.
My esteemed colleague has been using podcasting to build not one, not two, but maybe even three businesses, depending on how you define a business.
Two podcasts are around the same business than this one.
Okay. And so this is something that he's used consistently to build up authority, to talk to industry experts, and the list of things that he does around podcasting is significant. And actually, it is. I want to acknowledge everybody, and I want to acknowledge to my podcasting partner. While I knew it was something that I wanted to get into vaguely, it really, if I hadn't been reached out to by a partner of John's, I wouldn't be doing this podcast. And if John hadn't continued to do most of the heavy lifting for this podcast, I would not be doing a podcast, even though I understood full well what the benefits were. So John has been instrumental in leveraging this strategy, even for me. And I just want to just say that he is definitely an authority on this subject. I'm excited to be talking to him about him again. So now that I built you up a bit, John, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself, just in case anybody doesn't happen to know who you are.
Oh, thanks, Rob. He's looking better as well, audience. He, last week had a bit of a shiner, and he looks half human there. He seems in a cheerful mood. And of course, his cats are safe as well.
My cats are safe.
Yeah, they haven't been hunted down and cooked. Here's the beds. Sorry, listeners and viewers, I just can't get over it. It's just cockled something in my heart. I flipped, actually. But thanks, Rob. So I'm the joint founder, Mel Wright. We're a platform. We supply a CRM, landing pages, a great-looking website, and a lot more aimed at the real estate professional. Back over to you, Rob.
All right. Beautiful. So my understanding, I'm just going to share, and we're going to jump into the outline that John has provided and give you all a kind of like a synopsis. We're going to talk about target audiences, planning strategy, equipment that you can use, and how to promote your content, your show. Those are roughly going to be the things that we're going to talk about. But I want to add a couple of things in that podcasting has done, because this was a new strategy to me, and I'm a lifelong marketer. And I wasn't even a guy that really listened to podcasts before John and I started doing our thing. And now I listen to a few. And once again, that's John's influence on me. But here's what I found that podcasting does. In the brief time that John and I have done this podcast, last couple few years, I've noticed that a lot of doors have opened even for me. And I already had a reasonable amount of doors I could step through inside the real estate industry. But it's staggeringly surprising to me how many people drop everything to come do a podcast when you say you have one, especially with John and I, who have a few hundred episodes together, and he has many hundreds under his belt by himself. And so this thing where we can just talk to anybody, it's just been amazing to me. I've managed to talk to quite a few of my personal heroes in the marketing industry all under this podcast. And while I don't know that for me it's been a massive needle mover in terms of directly producing me business, I know it's been a massive needle mover in the idea of these conversations I've had with these other very important people in the industry. And when people hear me talking to them, I get some of their shared credibility going. It's been crazy how instrumental that has been to notching up my credibility. That's what podcasting has done for me. What has it done for you, John, before we get started?
I think it's expanded the amount of people I know. They're in the WordPress space. I tend to really downplay the amount of influence I've got in it, but I've noticed that if I say something and it's taken the wrong way. It, you know, there's like 1,000 Twitters triggered, and it gets back to me that they're not too happy with my little comment. I'm not really somebody that holds grudges, but I do. There's a very small group of people that I really dislike quite intensely, and if I can do them, if I can be cause them difficulties, I probably would. But it takes a lot of bad behaviour to get really on my wrong side. I honestly do not hold a grudge. Probably I'm more forgiving than I should be. But there is a line. And, you know, I am merciless in my English sarcasm, as you have probably noticed, Robert.
You know what the funny thing is, John? I have a lot of friends that are way worse than you. But that's okay. I mean, I hang out in a very sardonic group. So that's what podcasting roughly has done for us. So just to repeat that, what I heard John say, he has a pretty big megaphone. And certainly in the WP Tonic world, in the WordPress world, from an outside perspective, John has a huge microphone. There isn't anybody that I know of that's relevant in that space that John hasn't taken meetings with. We joke on the show, on air and off, where he's talked to some people I would die to talk to. Matt from the founder of Typepress, which is the WordPress, which is basically WordPress. Like, and Rand Fishkin, who I would just probably give my left nut to have a conversation with. Like, all these people John has had on WP Tonic, because the show is really relevant inside that WordPress space. And so and he's an English bloke who's just an entrepreneur here in the US who, you know, works out of Reno. Podcasting can really magnify your reputation inside whatever space you're targeting, as long as you have one, something to say. And failing that, this is my opinion, not John's, failing having something to say, if you're really well organized and diligent and get other people on your show and they really have something to say, then you can still be relevant even if you weren't necessarily the kind of expert that you managed to acquire on your show. People still listen to it. So that's my opinion. Do you have anything you want to add to that, or can we go on to your outline?
Let's go on.
Okay. So understanding your target audience. So everybody listening to this show should be in real estate. Really, most of you. There's a few that aren't. But all of those of you who are in real estate, how do you figure out who your target audience is? Because every single person that's out there that's listening to the show, because I get this all the time, John. I get this in keyword targeting. I get this in audience modeling all the time. Who exactly is it that you're targeting? Well, people buying and selling a home. For those of you that are targeting a certain part of your market where, for instance, you've got homes that are at the upper 10, 20, or 30% of your marketing sphere, then you're really targeting somebody that is specific. So how would you target your audience? Well, number one, Facebook and Google have done a very, very good job of identifying people by age, income, and geography. All right. So you can target your audience by age, income, or geography fairly easily. It would take you a couple of research, like just a little bit of research to figure out how to do that. I don't think that's what we do here. Is it, John? We just post to platforms.
I think there's two sides of it. The side you're talking about is, I'm taking this from the startup world. There's B2C, business to customer, and then there's business to business. I think if you're just aiming at individuals that might become a customer of yours, I would classify that as B2C. And if you're in a major city and you're talking about a certain type of house, a certain area, that might work. I personally think you're better off going what I call the B2B route. And basically that is you interview shakers, movers, business owners in your community to increase your personal network. Now, if you can go to every business event, every free business event in your area and talk to people, and you could email them and say, love to have a coffee with you. But these people know you're a real estate agent, so there is going to be some form of resistance. You might be a person that's already got a very large personal network in your area. A lot of people don't. If you want to find a really effective way that gets you in front of some of the most important local people in your area, do a podcast and invite them to come on the podcast for interviews. It's very unlikely they're going to say no. And then if you gel with them, it's very unlikely they won't agree to have a meeting with you, and you can build some relationship with that individual.
I agree with everything you said, and I would just like to add another layer to it. Ladies and gentlemen, everybody listening to the show, this isn't the most popular opinion. I've spent my entire life inside the marketing and sales world, and there are certain elements of it that are like politics. It's like, you know, all these businesses want you just to sell to everybody. All these businesses want you to do run the numbers, get the revenue, blah, 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 blah. I just decided a while back that I was going to be a mission guy, and because I was just tired of it. And so I became a mission guy, started my own thing. But here's the thing about having a mission. For those of you who are in real estate, what would a mission be? Do you have anything interesting to say to anybody in your audience? I have realtors that are my clients, and one of the things that we occasionally do is talk to small business owners. Now, that's a really good group of people to target inside a geographic specific area, like your local restaurant owner. You want to create a relationship with businesses that are in your area and basically establish a strong reputation with other influencers inside like a local market, a local lifestyle. Put them on a podcast. Talk about being a business owner in that area if you're passionate about it. Is there something that you're passionate about? I've got somebody in my database, John, that used to be an accountant before they became a realtor. She's really passionate about numbers. She does a lot of numbers crunching for her clientele. And I don't know. She's definitely not a charisma real estate agent, which is where most focus goes. Everybody's like, oh, you got to have a charisma. You got to do this. No, you don't really. What you have to have is a valuable asset that you can offer your clients. Somebody who's really going to sit down and really dig into the numbers, really read through your contracts, understand them, and want to do that. Maybe not the best person to talk to on the phone. Maybe dry and unemotional. But at the same time, if they're going through your stuff page by page and are really into it, that's a great realtor, in my opinion. That's somebody that really has something to offer you. Who cares about charisma? You really need somebody making sure the contracts are right, that your offers are right, that the numbers are looking good, blah, blah, blah. And so if she was to say to me, Robert, I want to, you know, do a podcast on talking to insurance folks inside the markets that I target, I'd be like, that's a brilliant idea for you, because she'd be really passionate and have a lot to discuss about the numbers, about the way the contracts can be manipulated. Maybe the subject matter is a little dry, but when people are looking for podcasts, they tend to pick a big, broad category. Like John and I sit with this podcast in real estate marketing, I think, right? That's kind of like what our target is. Okay. All right, so that's our subject. We cover everything inside real estate marketing, generally with a spin on generating leads, because that's what realtors really care about. Like, that's really what everybody wants to talk to us about. So find something that you're passionate about, like, and then worry about your audience, because it will come to you if you have something to say. That's the truth of it. If you have something to share that's valuable, people will find you.
I think... yeah, that's one way to approach it. The other way to approach it is to become what is called the digital mayor of your area. And that one of the main tools that you can utilize to become this digital mayor is podcasting. It is having, inviting people that are community leaders, political leaders, business leaders. You start on the edges, and as you keep doing it, you will find that the type of people that you will attract to the podcast will increase. So in the end, you will end up with regional or people's, some of the biggest individuals in your community, and that can only help your networking ability. And we're in the digital space, both me and Rob, but I think I've said it many times, I believe in the hybrid model. This is a person-to-person business, always will be. And you use digital marketing to add gasoline to the fire, but you've got to be able to build a personal network as well. And podcasting offers a great way of doing that, Rob.
I do agree. It's a more personal conversation. It's a way to get deep, deep, deep into the fabric of a subject, which is really going to make an impression. And I'm sorry, John, but I believe that most of digital marketing, I think it's gone 99% to influencer style marketing, where people want to know you. And if they do know you, they tend to want to do business with you. It's not the slow, fast, sexy approach to marketing. It's not producing a great commercial and having 1,000 people call you to be a realtor. That's the sexy stuff of myths at this point in this world that we live in right now. Most people, with all the digital information that we have at our fingertips, actually want a little bit more substance. In my opinion. All right. Planning your podcast strategy. You know what? Before we talk about this, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a short break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about how do you plan your strategy? And I'm going to let John pick this one up as soon as the break is over, because there's no doubt in my mind that as a guy that started 2 podcasts and I've started 0, that he probably has some really great ideas about planning for a podcast. So that's it. We'll be right back. Hit that like button, hit that subscribe button wherever you're watching or listening to this content. Make sure that you become friends with the distribution channel that you're hearing us on, and we'll talk to you in a second.
Do you want quality leads from homeowners and buyers right in your own neighborhood? Then you need MailRite. It is a powerful but easy to use online marketing system that uses Facebook to generate real estate leads at a fraction of the cost you'd pay from our competition. We stand behind our work with a no question asked 30-day money back guarantee. So don't delay. Get started today. Go to mail-write.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to episode number 447 of the Mail Right podcast. Today, we've been talking about using podcasting to get more real estate leads. We're going to talk about planning your podcast strategy. John's going to pick it up. Take it away, John.
Yeah, what I mean by strategy is the actual mechanics of how you're going to do it and how you're going to fit podcasting and consistently do it week in, week out. If you're serious about this, I think you're going to have to do a weekly podcast. You could do it every second week. If you're looking at just doing it monthly, I question if that's really going to work. So week to week and or twice a month, that might work. And most podcasts last about 3 episodes and then they fade out. So there's over 1 million podcasts now in the world, but the majority of them only last about 3 episodes. Mm-hmm. And then about another 50% only lasts about 25. We're in the top 10% because we're together probably done about 300 podcasts together. Mm-hmm. So we're in the top 10, maybe the 5% of all podcasts. The other factor is, it's going to be tempting. I would not suggest when you're starting off to go to other people's offices. I would attempt to do the podcasting through Zoom or another platform. There's half a dozen platforms. We're using one here called StreamYard. There's another popular one called Riverside, or you can utilize Zoom as well. I would do it remotely. You're going to find the technical side to be much easier to cope with. The only thing is you're going to be dealing with people on the other side that might not have very good audio equipment. That has diminished because of COVID, because people were having to work from their home offices, and that people tend now, especially if they're businesses, shakers and movers in your local community, they tend to have a mic. They tend to do a lot of remote conference calls. So that isn't quite a problem. It is nice to go to somebody's office, and it is possible, but there is going to be a more technical baggage in doing that. And thirdly, get a scheduling. So you book a particular time. I would suggest it's in the morning, or you can do it in early evening. And then you can send a link to somebody that's on your radar, and they can book a day or time that you're available to book the actual meeting. Okay. And then you can record the podcast. The other thing is you are going to have it edited. There's loads you can attempt to do that yourself. I would not recommend that you do that. There's loads of resources on Fiverr and similar platforms that can edit the audio for you at a reasonable cost, not ridiculous. Or there is, you can do it yourself, and it isn't that complicated, but I would probably look at getting somebody from Fiverr or some other online resource and do the editing yourself, that they do the editing for you.
Awesome. John is a master at this stuff. I do meetings with people scheduled through HubSpot links, Calendly links, stuff like that. All this digital calendar stuff is one of the only really interesting innovations for me as an inbound marketer. I don't have much to say about any of it, but online calendaring saves my life every single day. Like it like having people have a link, be able to check my calendar, being able to refer people to that. As a salesperson, I've oftentimes spent, no joke, hours of my day in conversations around scheduling. And it's always been one of the most frustrating things about being a salesperson is actually scheduling the appointments, then keeping the appointments, confirming the appointments, blah, blah, blah. Digital technology, people that really want to meet with you, in my experience, there are some people you can chase down, and you can definitely chase somebody down and then convince them or convert them or whatever the case is. Most of the time, that's a lot of really hard work. Whereas just sending out somebody a link and letting them schedule with you, well, by the time they schedule with you and then confirm whatever your automated confirmation is, they usually really want to meet with you. And just like they really want to do your podcast. We have a very low cancellation rate at MailRite. I've definitely noticed that. I have a very low cancellation rate in my personal appointment calendar because I don't spend too much time trying to convince people to take calls with me, because everything you're saying in the podcast has already done whatever convincing that needs to be done. And the people that are thinking about being on the show, once you've done a couple of episodes, I would say one thing, actually, you know what, now that I think about it, launching a business, generally speaking, to get some kind of momentum going in the digital world, you need a plan when you launch, when you start it. Okay, having a handful of guests lined up and ready to go, people that you've talked to physically and personally, will create a lot of the assets that you need to convince the rest of your audience. So I would say make sure that you have a few people lined up when you get ready for the show to go. Get those people on the calendar, get that all set up. Because by the time you're in the momentum and you casually mention to somebody else, having a link to a show you've already done is a great persuasion tool. All right.
Give a quick tip. Do not book do a couple of live dummy runs. get a couple of interviews with friends or people you have some close relationships, because it's going to be, the first episode is going to be a bit rough, and maybe the second one. So you don't want to get your best guest on to launch. You want to do a couple and then bring your best guest in. That's just a tip, because it just reality, the first one or two might be a bit rough.
Right. All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to talk a little bit about audio equipment, which once again, going to let John take this up. Everybody can see that I'm using a Plantronics headset. This is a company that I've used for 20 plus years when it comes to full on call center headsets. I wear this one because it's super comfortable. It's got cushioning. It is not podcasting. I have an ICE microphone that long ago John or somebody else recommended to me that I bought for the podcast. Then I used it for a prop in another show that I did and lost it. I don't know where it is. Anyway, I'm not an audio equipment expert. I have people in my staff and in my circle of friends who buy all of my equipment for me, all of it, lighting, sound, video, everything. As a matter of fact, they're setting up in another studio because I'm going to do another show right after I do this one. So, John, what are your recommendations for audio equipment? You've done this many times. I remember you upgraded your own setup once in the years that we've been doing this.
Right. Basically, when you're starting out, folks, you want to keep it as simple as possible. And the easiest way to do this is utilize a USB external mic. It's mostly a USB-C now. And most computers, PCs or Macs will have a USB-C. And you plugged the mic directly into your computer and it will show up. A USB mic has the electronics in the mic, and when you plug it in, it will show up as one of your sound card resources. Sometimes on the PC, you do have to download a driver, but that's not so common now. And it's the easiest way to do it. And then you use something like Zoom or StreamYard or Riverside, and it will see the mic when you're setting up your input, and you connect it to earbuds. I wouldn't utilize Bluetooth earbuds. I'd have a direct connection myself, because the battery always runs out halfway through the conversation. So I wouldn't do that. And a mic, there's three manufacturers there's loads of them. There's loads of Chinese manufacturers, but three. I think you can buy a reasonable USB mic between $50 to $70 now. And the three I would recommend is Rode. They're an Australian company. They're Shure, which is a US-based company that's got over 100 years. They're based in Chicago. And the one I consistently use, I'm on their second mic. I am this week doing a little bit of upgrade, but I'm still waiting for some of the equipment to come in. And I've bought another mic from them, and that's a company called Audio Technic. They're a Japanese company, and I've been really happy with the mics, the USB mics. Mm-hmm. Next week, if I'm happy with it, I'm going to upgrade. I'm going to move to what is called XLR, which basically you get a little bit better sound. I haven't gone crazy on it. I've bought equipment that will just upgrade the quality a little bit. And the main difference with that is that you need an external sound center. You're not plugging the mic directly into the PC or Mac. You're plugging the mic into a sound system, and then the sound system is connected to the PC, and you have more direct control over the sound volume and quality by utilizing one of these external systems. But you don't have to bother with that, really. I would recommend that you just buy a USB mic.
Copy you. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to offer the same advice that I've always offered about equipment, about everything, whenever you're starting a marketing effort, a business, anything. We all have to evaluate where we are at in our careers and what kind of budget that we have for marketing. All right. I'm still using relatively inexpensive equipment, and I was doing that for the first 6 years that Inbound REM was in business. Then I invested $20,000 to $30,000 to convert one of the rooms into my house into a full studio, complete with a rig on the ceiling to do lighting, a board on the walls. I remodeled one of my rooms in my house. I did a lot. Okay. But the reason that I did it is at that particular time, I had an audience of about 30, 40,000 people that are realtors that pay attention to me. And I thought that the upgrade in my content presentation might have an impact. It took me another year to kind of get into the cycle of producing content using all of this equipment and this room. And there's pros and cons. You know, it's not an office building. It's in my house, and my house is old. So occasionally we have power problems and other things that happen with an old house in the valley, San Fernando Valley, where I live. And so ultimately it was an iffy investment. Probably will pay me off in the span of 5 or 10 years, for sure, I think. But that's kind of where you need to be when you start looking at equipment, in my opinion. It's like, you need to look at it from, I wait until it's so freaking obvious that everybody in my team and everybody is pressuring me to make upgrades. And even then, I sometimes resist. Like, I am going to buy a nice microphone, like John's saying, and I'm probably going to drop it from my ceiling, and it's going to be better than the remote mix that I have on my studio setup. And I might do another microphone inside my little office space, but I have forever really cherished a kind of messy, casual office environment. And so I don't really like to clutter it up with lots of equipment. I really think that it's important that everybody listening to this show takes into account what your resources are first. Please don't go broke.
I think if you do a lot of YouTube watching, folks, you're going to get a lot of people that's going to get asked, that's going to recommend a Rode or Shure, but it's going to be around $300. You don't have to pay that, folks. I'm using Audio Technica mic that cost me $70, and I've been using it for 7 years. And I've had people say the sound's pretty good. Those that are really into it, they buy Shure, they buy Rode, or they buy upper level Audio Technica. The mic that I'm replacing, this one, it's cost me $150. Hopefully it will be a bit better. And give me with the external sound deck, give me more control. But I wasn't prepared to spend, you know, you can spend thousands. But these are people that are professional musicians. They are either semi-pro or full-pro professional musicians. They're looking to build a home studio. You're looking to do a podcast. There's a difference.
Yeah, no, there's a huge difference. I'm just saying in general, I was just sharing my philosophy because I don't have, you should be trying lots of different marketing things. You should keep the expenses down to the least, lowest amount of money. I'm a big believer in trying things until you find something that really fits. And that's what coaches and everybody else is going to say to you in a variety of languages. You find a marketing or sales strategy that works for you. So you might try YouTubing, you might try podcasting, you might try door knocking, you might try calling. You should find something that works for you. And each time you try something different, especially if you haven't hit a real success, you should keep the cost zero.
Yeah.
That's my opinion. Zero, not low, zero. That way you are making sure, like if you were going to invest in anything and you're an early realtor, an early salesperson, an early business owner, my opinion is books and free YouTube videos. That's it. Like, that's it. All right. In my opinion. All right. But number four, how to promote your podcast. This is our bonus section, ladies and gentlemen. We're now 34 minutes into this episode. John and I separate out this show in 30 minutes of talking about a topic. And then sometimes we separate out a bonus and we say, hey, the bonus is going to be on the YouTube channel. And so this bonus is going to be talking about how to promote your podcast. I have some ideas about this, John, but why don't you go ahead and share what has worked for you for all the, I mean, the WP Tonic Show is what, 6,000 to 10,000 listeners a month now? Is that right?
It's between 3,000 and 5,000. It varies between the episode, but I think I'm getting, well, I think, got to be truthful, that's per month. That's the direct downloads. But the audience you get, as you know, with most marketing, if you can get both, this is great, but it's really very difficult. You can get a lot of reach, a lot of watches, whatever metrics you're using. But a lot of these people might not be actually, will never become a customer of yours, never purchase. Or you might have a smaller audience, but they're more passionate, they're more targeted, so there's more chance that they would purchase. If you can get both at the same time, that's fantastic, but that's rare. So don't get so fixated about how many downloads. It's who downloading and how much influence you are having with those people. So to kind of promote it, well, that's one of the reasons why I think interviewing is a good idea, because and then utilizing social media to promote the interview. If you're using something like StreamYard, you could invite people to join you live and ask questions of the person if they're up for it. That will mean that you also will have to do video as well. Otherwise, you can just promote the person. If they're well known in the area, you can use like Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn to promote the interview and promote the podcast. If you're going to do a video, use a webcam. A 4K webcam will only cost you less than $100 now. I'm using more expensive equipment. The equipment I'm using that if you're watching this, cost me about $1,000. That's the way, that's a great way you're promoting it, is through the guests and utilizing their network, their name recognition in the local area. And that builds up your name recognition.
For the record, everybody, the camera I'm using, which is terrible, it's $35, the Logitech. But that's for this, the podcast. When I'm doing it in my studio, the camera that my team had me buy there was $2,000, some kind of Sony. So it's different, you know. But I just am going to say, promoting this show, another really beautiful thing about podcasts is that they are what I call a compounding marketing system. Okay, and what that means is that by doing the podcast, everybody that participates in it has a vested interest in promoting the show. So if you're lucky enough to gather somebody who has a big audience, usually it's audience reciprocation is the number one way to promote podcasts. I will go ahead and get the podcast out in front of my audience. You go ahead and get the podcast out in front of your audience. And even if you did nothing else other than do the podcast, you will slowly but surely grow your reach just by making sure that you talk to your guests about promoting it to their audience. And you make sure that you also have the due diligence to promote it to your audience. Something that I am 50-50 on myself. I put episodes of this show onto my website occasionally. And when I do, those episodes tend to have high views on YouTube and things like that. But I select the episodes that I think are most interesting. to the audience. And then what I do additionally is I take the episodes where I really think it's valuable. I have a private Facebook group with about 180 movers and shakers in the real estate industry. And those people get my favorite shows that John and I do. And all I got to do is do a link. And I actually grab that off John's Facebook page, generally speaking, and then push it into my private group. Here's the thing. Whatever promotion I do is simply compounding the idea that you filmed the episode. It's very low effort, extremely low effort. Like I spend 5 minutes, maybe a month, and you can find somebody who probably spend 10 minutes and they will be a guest and they will get you out in front of a couple hundred or a couple thousand or 10,000 people. And then you'll have a few additional listeners. And that's kind of how you grow the audience. This show is slowly grown since John and I have been doing it. Just over hundreds of episodes, pure diligence. And when somebody finds something that you're saying that they like, I don't have many of these, but I do have the occasional person that reaches out and contacts me and goes, oh my God, I've listened to like 50 of your podcasts. And I'm just like, really? Oh, wow. And they do occasionally do that. When they come through the door, they are customers. Not some of the time, every time. And that's another interesting thing about producing content digitally in the first place. If you cover enough subjects in enough detail, even though it could be very granular, you'll eventually find one person where that's a hot button and you're the only answer that they can find. Podcasting is the same way. Talk about something that is maybe relevant to a very small number of people, but John and I have done hundreds of these episodes. Eventually, like another thing is that sometimes somebody else's reputation connects into your podcast when you distribute it to, like, it gets out there. Somebody sees, oh my God, you talked to whoever, somebody from Playster, whatever it is. We've had a couple of big guests and one of those big guests, and somebody really loves one of those big guests. And the minute that you talk to them, they already like you. Now, when you're talking to them, they're like, oh, you're my guy. Promotion takes care of itself. Now, if you want to do something more than that, if you ever get like a knockout superstar guest, here's one secret that John and I don't talk about much because it requires that you have a budget. YouTube views acquired through paid advertising are very low cost of acquisition, especially if you end up talking about a broad subject that is not an expensive keyword. And you get a rock star guest, and then you can target that guest's name and your own name and maybe some ancillary subjective searches. And all of a sudden you've got, for $500, you can get out in front of 50,000 people. That is a very low cost for very high impact. When you do that kind of advertising, my last thing is going to be, guys, gals, everybody listening, John, you're not looking for the conversion. You're looking for the audience acquisition, which could, over a very large period of time, end up being conversion. Because the bigger your audience, the more parent authority that you have, the more subscribers that you have on every channel that you're on, the more likely people are going to look at you automatically and say you must be credible. There's a lot of reasons why one might build up an audience, something I haven't really engaged in myself. Because we usually are maxed out for what I want to produce. But if I wanted to do more, I would just throw a few hundred dollars into that kind of paid advertising, grow my audience super fast, and you know, the numbers would eventually happen. I don't really have anything to add. That was more than I thought I had to say on the subject. John, is there anything you'd like to close out with? Because we're definitely at the end of our scheduled time.
No, I think we've covered the subject. If you've got any questions, you can go over to the Mel Hyphen Right website and you can book a chat with me, and I'll be more than happy to give you additional advice around podcasting. Back over to you, Rob.
Yeah, and for the love of God, everybody listening to the show today, John is the expert on this, not Robert. John, please call him, reach out to him, whatever methods he's got. If for some reason some of you listening to the show are interested in ancillary subjects such as, you know, social media, SEO, stuff like that, I've got a lot of resources on the inboundrem.com website. You can look at my service form, my contact form, reach out to me there. You can also email me at robert@inboundrem.com. John, is there any additional contact info that you'd like to add as we close the show out?
No, just go over to themail-right.com and you can book a chat with me. It's right on the top navigation. Like I say, you got any questions about podcasting, I'll be more than happy to help.
Cool. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for listening. We appreciate it so much. We will see you next week, same time, same bat channel. And we'll be able to have something really cool to share with you about real estate marketing.